Thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But this morning, I would like for us just to look around identity this morning. And we all know this cliche of stop letting the world tell us who we are. To stop letting people tell us who we are. But I want to tell you this morning, if you're in this house this morning and you're a believer of Christ, then you are a child of God this morning. That you are a saint. That you are secure. That you are holy this morning. And you have royal blood flowing through your veins this morning. The world will tell us and people how we shall be. And we have an awful identity crisis happening in the world today. Where it seems just to be this big struggle of actually who we are. But as Christians this morning, church, as Christians, as believers in Christ, this is who we are. Blood-bought Christians who are holy and secure, part of a sainthood, who are called children of God. Let me ask you, do you believe that this morning, church? Is this your belief of who you are? My prayer this morning for each and every single believer in this room this morning is that you will believe this and grasp this this morning. And this morning, I can stand here and proudly say that I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And my prayer wholeheartedly this morning is that you will also believe this. And if you do believe this, fantastic, great, excellent. And we're going to just look around, just identity, but not just any identity. I like to give my sermons wee titles, and I've given this one, Gratitude in Our Identity. Our gratitude for the things we have experienced in our life in Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bibles, which is this morning, on our phones, or whatever way you read your Bibles, can you please turn to 1 Timothy 1, and we're going to just read 5 short verses from 12 to 17. And what really gave me the heart for this message was that it actually came up in a study in our Connect groups. And I attend our Connect groups. I don't really engage in them because of this. I like to let them flow. But there was just this real sense of identity that Paul brings out. There is, he's shown gratitude for our salvation, but there's also this identity in these verses that the apostle brings out. I'm just going to read God's word together. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considers me trustworthy, appointing me to service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in arrogance and unbelief. But the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And we will just end our reading there. And surely God will bless the reading of his word this morning. And just to say, Paul's letter to his dear brother in Christ, Timothy, should all bring us to an understanding and a place of who we are. See, Paul's letter to Timothy, although we get to read and study it and pick it apart, speaks to every believer this morning. That this morning we have an identity in Christ. Jesus just doesn't pour his identity out to the Apostle Paul, but he pours it out onto every single believer this morning. And if you are a believer in Christ this morning, you have not only identity as a child of God, but an identity that only He can give you, that only Jesus can give you. And He trusts you with that identity. He trusts you with everything He gives you. Because He won't give you anything that you can't handle. He won't give you anything that's too big. He won't give you anything that's too small. But He'll give you something that is just perfect. And we live in a world today when we look around, so many identities, or so many so-called identities. But the identities of followers of Christ has never changed. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are given an unchanging identity. But sometimes we can struggle in this identity. It's not a known and it's not any secret that Christians can struggle. That Christians can struggle in their walk, in their identity that Jesus has given them. I don't know any of you here this morning. It's my first time ever meeting most of you or all of you. But just let me give you a brief snapshot of my life. In verse 12, the apostle gives admiration and thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord. But then, verse 13, the apostle lists everything he used to be. The apostle lists everything he used to be. And I just want to take for 1 second, take verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. This used to be me. I don't know if any of you sit here and look at scripture this morning or look at someone in the Bible and really relate to that person and say, yes, I can really see myself in this person, in this verse, in this scripture, in this passage of scripture. But I'm sure most of us, all of us, can identify with verse 13. That maybe some people are sitting in this room this morning and feeling like this. That maybe some people have acted in arrogance and unbelief with the things that are going on in your life. Maybe you're looking at the world and maybe you've lost sight of your identity. Maybe you don't know your identity in this world. Maybe you've lost sight as who you are as a Christian. Take me, for example. I was once a blasphemer. I was once persecuted people because of their beliefs. And we all know the Apostle Paul was a violent man. I too was not a very pleasant man. But regardless of all these things, I can this morning stand here and say the word I used to be, or I once was. But I was shown something. In my own unbelief, when I doubted would I ever be changed, I was shown something. I was shown mercy. Jesus came in and showed me mercy. And regardless of who you are this morning or where you are, Jesus shows the same mercy to you. And regardless if you've lost your identity, regardless if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ before, regardless of where you are set in your pew this morning, He shows mercy to each and every single one here today. And if you can just get a grip of His mercy this morning, even if you've lost sight of your identity in Him, even if you've never identified in Him, He is capable of changing your life. Your identity is in Him this morning through His mercy. And there's a real sense of gratitude from the Apostle Paul. There's a real sense of transformation in Paul's gratitude towards the Lord. See, the Apostle writes, I thank Christ Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is how the Apostle Paul starts these verses. Paul's identity went from one as a blasphemer and a persecutor to one who he gives thanks to, who he was blaspheming and persecuting. Paul is not unsure of his identity. He isn't struggling with his identity. Paul realizes where his identity comes from, and it comes from the one who gives him strength. It comes from the one that considers the apostle trustworthy and has appointed him to his service. Let me ask you this morning, where does your identity lie? Who has given you strength this morning? Who was considering you trustworthy this morning and has appointed you to service? I find it amazing sometimes, and I'm not alien to this, that we can lose sight of the gratitude of what Jesus has done for us. I'm not a super Christian. I do lose sight of that gratitude sometimes. In the business of the world and work and ministry and family, you can sometimes just lose the sight of that gratitude. I lose sight, and we can lose sight of the one who gives us strength. I struggle with the trustworthiness and the appointment to his service because of the busyness of life. But we only need his strength. We only need his trust. And we only need his service. And we receive all of this because of the mercy he has poured out on us. The apostle says, I was shown mercy. You are shown mercy this morning, and continue and will be for the rest of the week be shown mercy. We are a blessed people this morning, church. You can say amen, it's okay. Pentecostal, yes? Mark, Pentecostal, yeah? Yeah? It's okay to say amen. We are a blessed people amen. This morning, church. But we're doubly blessed. See, we receive mercy from God. God will hold the punishment that we deserve. We are not undeserving. There's no case of mistaken identity, but we are guilty. We are guilty this morning, and we deserve the penalty of death. But not only does God pour out his mercy, he also pours out his grace. And we did not have to earn it, church. It's a gift freely given. And even when we're undeserving of this gift, even when we're undeserving of his mercy and grace, he still pours it out. And church, be thankful this morning. Be thankful that he does still pour it out. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I just want us to focus on the whole idea of mercy and grace. And with this mercy and grace comes our identity. That we would live in a time where his mercy and grace is still evident. Mark was telling me this morning about salvations in this house of the youth. Amen. Amen. We have a saying in Armagh. I don't know if you have it up here. He was telling me about a couple of outreaches as well. Keep our lit. Do you have that saying up here? Keep our lit. Keep going out to where you need to go to reach the unsaved. Keep our lit. It'll be fine. Because your identity is in Christ. You know, people have told me I'm an evangelist. I don't hold to any titles or anything like that. But I remember the first time I ever done outreach. And there was a pastor with me, the pastor who brought me to the Lord. And he said to me, now Gary, I can see you're nervous. And I was out in the streets of Monaghan. They can get a bit rough around Monaghan. And he looked at me and he goes, just remember, they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to Jesus. They're not saying no to you. And we can take that personally sometimes when people say no to Jesus. And that's fine. And it does hurt. But church, just be thankful this morning that he still pours out his mercy and grace. See, mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. We serve a God who is full of compassion and full of forgiveness. When he pours out his mercy and grace, and we take hold of that mercy and grace, something happens inside of us. A transformation happens inside of us. A spiritual transformation happens inside of us. And we get a new identity. We become something that we were to something that we are. The Apostle Paul recognizes the grace of our Lord, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And can I just ask this morning, kind of humble yourself around the idea of mercy and grace. Seek His mercy and grace to examine yourself in reaction to God's mercy and grace. View yourself in light of God's mercy and grace. God's mercy and grace should bring a change to our lives. Accepting Jesus in my adulthood brought a change in my life that is evident to people. To people who have been saved from an early life, there's something different about that person. But do we cling on to the things of the past? Is there certain things we cannot let go of? As we strive for our new identity, or as we strive to keep our new identity, is there things that we hold on in our past that affects how we react to God's grace and mercy? The Bible is very clear that God's mercy or grace can never be bought. Or is there anything we can never do to earn His mercy and grace? But it is also something He will never withhold. It is something that He continues to pour out. And His mercy and grace is not limited. There's no bounds to His mercy and grace. And regardless if we're striving for our new identity or if we're striving to hold on to our identity, we should never lose focus of the mercy and grace, because the mercy and grace that is given us to us by God was on display at the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary, where Jesus hung and bled and died for each and every single person in this building this morning. At the cross of Calvary, where Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world, where death and destruction is found, grace and mercy break in and meet this death and destruction. It was poured out on the cross. It cost God everything. Do not lose sight of the gratitude that should be given to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Do not lose sight that Jesus went to the cross for each and every single person in this house this morning. But hold on. Celebrate. Be in awe. Be in amazement. He rose from the grave 3 days later, and we get to celebrate this victory this morning. Amen, church. The Lord's table is beautiful, and it just brings us to this place, nice place of reflection. But we should also rejoice in the risen King, in the one that is seated at the throne, who's interceding. And we should have joy in that. We should have excitement in that. We should tell everyone about that. That He rose 3 days later. Have the faith and love this morning in Jesus Christ. Have the faith that His mercy and grace are poured out in church. In spite of your past, in spite of what you've done in the past, in spite of how your life may have looked, and in spite of what you may be going through today, His mercy and grace still abounds. In the transformation life of the Christian, sin does not have victory. Sin does not hold any hold over the believer's life. Because as the apostle writes, here is a saying that is of full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul is the worst, of whom I am the worst, of and whom you are the worst. But His grace and mercy changes that. His grace and mercy does not allow sin to have a foothold in your life. Just to be clear, the apostle isn't turning this into some type of pity party. The apostle is not in self-pity. The apostle is being clear and attentive to his brother in Christ, Timothy, that he is a sinner. And we are sinners this morning. And it's only because Jesus came in to this world that we are saved, that we are redeemed. The Apostle Paul doesn't say who I used to be. I didn't used to be a sinner. Even in our new identity, even in our transformation, we are still sinners. We still need Jesus. Everything that makes our identity have purpose requires Jesus coming into this world to save sinners, of who we are the worst. Apply this to your life this morning. Apply this to your own walk this morning. That yes, you have a new identity, but Jesus still came. And Jesus Christ still saves this morning. And accept what the Apostle Paul says of who I am the worst. We are all in need of a Savior. Because without Jesus, without God sending Jesus into the world to save wretched sinners, we would still be the worst. But Jesus makes us righteous before him. And when we read through scripture and we look at people's identity being changed, thus in the New Testament alone we think of Simon, who Jesus called Peter, and we think of Saul, who came to be called the Apostle Paul. God isn't looking for a character reference. God isn't worried about your past. God isn't worried about what you've done before. God is worried about who you are in Jesus Christ. God is concerned about the big things in your life. Where are you going to spend eternity? That's what he's worried about. Who are you going to follow on this earth? Are you going to follow his son's example, or what social media tell you, or what the internet tells you? These are the things he is concerned about, because if he wasn't, he would not have sent his son. We get a new identity through his mercy and grace. And can I encourage you this morning to step into that, step into what he has called you. He's not going to change your name. And we're not going to look at changing your past. But we can change the purpose. We can change the reason for your identity. And the Apostle Paul is the greatest example of this. The Apostle Paul didn't beat around the bush. He didn't hesitate. He knew what he saw on that road. He knew who spoke to him on that road. And he embraced it. He embraced every aspect of his life to this identity that Jesus gave him that day. But what identity has he given you that maybe you're not stepping into? What has he called you to that maybe you haven't answered yet? We are invited into something special, something amazing. We are invited into what God is not only doing in Ballymoney, Northern Ireland, or on the Isle of Ireland. We are invited to take part in God's mission in the world. And the world is big. But he invites us in to take part in this. See, there is a reason his grace is poured out. There is a reason that when he shows mercy to the worst of sinners, that reason why we have a transformed life and a new identity. Of course there's a reason. Your identity has a purpose. And because you are shown patience, you must also show patience. Because you are shown love, faith, grace, and mercy, you must also show these as well. You know, you can't change anyone with the same. Do you get what I mean? You can't change anyone with the same. Take your phone, for example. Take the iPhone. There's a bunch of models that all look the same, feel the same, weigh the same. Everything else, if I gave you two phones from iPhone 13 to 16 or 17 or whatever number they're on now, you'd probably look at them and say, they're the same. But on the inside, there's a whole lot of other things going on that I don't really understand. Chips and goes very fast and does different things, and AI now has taken over. But on the inside, they're different. They may look the same, but they're different. And as a buyer, I like Apple products, but as a buyer, you see the difference on the inside when you go from a model from 5 years ago to this year. See, the change must come from inside of us. The change must come from the heart. We can still carry the scars of the world. We can still carry hurt and disappointment. And we can still carry the battle wounds, so that we can be example to those who believe, who want to believe in Him and receive eternal life. We are this example. And we should be examples to the ones who we are least patient with. We should be kind to them. We should not be judgmental. We should not be condemning. We should show them the same love, mercy, and grace that has been shown to us. The same mercy that was shown to us, we must also show to them. I know that patience isn't an easy thing to grasp. I know you've been waiting for a senior pastor, but sometimes it does take patience to get the right one. Sometimes it does take patience to get it correct. Last week at our Sunday service at Market Hill, I applied this very real thing of patience to me, because I am very impatient. I say that kind of shamefully, but I am very impatient because I want things to happen now or yesterday. And I want to see not only Northern Ireland, but I want to see Ireland on fire for Christ. I want to see the loved ones that I know. I want the ones that I love and who are close to me have what I have. And I'm sure that everyone in this room feels the same. But sometimes, most of the time, we have to be patient because He is patient with us. Be an example in your identity. Be an example to those around you who we want to see won for Christ. And there is nothing greater than being an example. There is nothing greater than being found in Him this morning. But we must be that example. We must be that example, because Jesus Christ is our greatest example. The apostle writes in verse 17, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Just let me say that we give Him all the praise. We give Him all the honor, because He is an eternal King. He is immortal, and He is the only God today. And He is responsible for our transformation. He is responsible for our identity. And this is who we are to give our praise and honor to. This is who we glorify. And just never forget that this morning. Never forget who has given you your identity this morning. It is He who pours out His mercy, and it is He who pours out His grace. The praise from the Apostle Paul is something we should be constantly doing. This is something we should be focused on. This is something we should be seeking to do, because what He has done for us, we must seek to have gratitude for what He has done. I'm not trying to say that none of us have gratitude this morning. I'm not saying that we're lacking gratitude, but could we give that little bit more? Because we can never understand or even compare what He has done for us. I'm just going to close with this. When our favorite football team or sports team or whoever we support wins, we say, "We won." And we identify so much with that we'll call our friends in a different town, different part of the world even now today, And we'll tell them, we beat you. And we victoriously identify. We feel good when our team wins. But we also feel bad when our team loses. Why? Because we understand that we are related to that team by an identity. I'm a Liverpool supporter. Last year was great. Our senior minister, Alan, is a United fan, so it was easy pickings every Sunday. It's all changed now. I don't talk that much about football anymore from the pulpit. But this is how I identify. I'm a Liverpool supporter. Now, Alan gets his couple of rubs in now, but that's fine. But when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus rose, you arose. When Jesus comes back, you will rise to go with him. Because that's who you are this morning. And we must identify with who we are in Christ. That we have an identity now. And we will always, unlike Liverpool, be on the winning side. And thus, as we reflect on Paul's letter to Timothy, be reminded this morning of Paul's profound journey from a life marked by sin to one transformed by Christ's mercy and grace. Our identity in Christ is not some fleeting label. It's not something that we used to be. It's not something that is dying, but it's something that is alive. It is something that should bring jealousy to people, that people would look at you and say, what is it that that person has that I want? That when they see you, they see a transformed life. Let the unchanging truth of a transformation life be bestowed among every believer in this house this morning. That despite our pasts, our struggles, and our moments of doubts, God's mercy remains constant. And his grace abounds. And the Apostle Paul's life is a testimony to the transformed power of God's love. From a blasphemer, persecutor, to a devoted servant of Christ. His story is one for potential change in all of us, within all of us. And this transformation, it isn't about altering behavior, which is good, but it's about embracing the new identity given through faith in Jesus. We are called to live as examples, to reflect his patience, to reflect his grace, to reflect his mercy, and to reflect his love to those around us. Just as we close, just let us be reminded of this sense of gratitude this morning. And let us not lose sight of the mercy poured out for us on the cross of Calvary. Never lose sight of that. But that the grace that was poured out on Calvary sustains us daily, and that our identity will anchor us in Christ. May we just be mindful to honor and glorify their eternal King, who love knows no bounds. Just let us pray, church, this morning. Yes, Father God, we just do give you all honor and praise this morning, God. We give you all honor and praise of who you are. We give all honor and praise because you still are a God seeking the lost. But Father God, we just ask that you use each and every single one of us through the identity that you have given us, Father, to go and seek the lost, to be the example to the lost, whose mercy and grace was poured out on us, God, when we just reflect that to the people around us, to the people in our households, the people in our workplaces, the people in the shops, God, wherever we go, won't we just reflect that, please, Father? But Father, most of all, we give praise and honor to Jesus, who went to the cross for each and every single one of us, who didn't hold back, God, who could have at any time stepped off that cross and would have still gone to eternity, but he saw the job true to the end, Father. He saw the job true to the end so we would be redeemed to you, Father. Father, I thank you for this house this morning, God. May you bless each and every single head bowed this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.